Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins. Afternoons on the Score.
Breaking news. This, according to Jeff Passan, free agent star Manny Machado has agreed to a deal with the San Diego Padres.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Machado, who are the top three suitors? White Sox are the
White Sox. I've come to talk with you again.
The White Sox, they could make a big splash.
Because a vision softly creeping.
It feels like it'll be the White Sox. I really don't think Machado wants to go to San Diego.
And the vision that was planted in my brain.
The White Sox are more likely to get him. It's just going to come down to money.
The White Sox still are the team for Machado.
10 years, $300 million for Manny Machado.
I'm just in shock. I'm so happy. It's such a massive, massive move for this city. God, we needed it, man. We really did.
Worst day of my life. What do you think?
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Tough swing and a miss for the White Sox and White Sox fans today. This hour on The Score brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Yeah, tough day for White Sox fans. Many of them very upset. I'm not going twice. I'm going to stay home both times they play on opening day.
Okay.
Yeah, they play it once, but they're staying home double. They're that angry about it.
Yeah, there was one who said he was going to, our guy John said he's going to be a Cubs fan now.
43-year-old man going to trade that cap for a blue one.
Don't.
Big red C on it.
Don't believe you.
It'll take a few days for him to shake it off.
I get Hub's argument of, hey, you know, maybe it won't work out. Maybe this will be the best thing that happens for you. I understand it. I disagree with it completely. I think that the perfect guy to sign when you're just beginning your window of bringing up all your young players and starting to compete in a year or two is a 26-year-old left side of the infield, 6-war player who could play short or third and
terrific
can hit
athlete.
35 homers a year who's got a great glove.
Yep.
Especially when a lot of your prospects are pitchers. So, like,
yes,
you know, you could put Machado and Eloy in the middle of your lineup and say that's a great 2-3 or a great 3-4 for the next decade or so. He would have fit perfectly, and I think it's a huge miss for the White Sox.
There's a piece of information. I don't know if we'll ever get it. I would love to find out if the White Sox had an 11th-hour opportunity to come in over the top after he had grabbed the pen. And I know he's only agreed in principle to sign with the Padres. He has not put paper or ink to paper just yet. But did the White Sox have that final opportunity to tweak the offer they made him, which was more than fair?
It was fair, but it wasn't good enough.
It wasn't what he was wanting. He wanted a guarantee, but did they have a chance to say, okay, we'll guarantee it?
I don't know.
That's what I'd like to know.
I would like to know also.
I'd like to know that more than I'd like to have Rick Hahn answer a question about Dylan Cease.
Yeah, that was odd. That was a bad moment. We'll talk to Bruce Levine, by the way, in a little less than 20 minutes. I just feel like they sat down at the big game in a poker room, and they sat down as the short stack. And that's no way to win. Like, you're allowed to buy in.
Yeah.
You're allowed to sit at the table, but you're immediately an underdog. If Manny Machado wanted $300 million guaranteed, and you were only willing to give him $250 million guaranteed, and now Bob Nightingale comes out, because his best sources are the Reinsdorf, right? He's always in. Him and Kenny Williams are all tight. The White Sox front office. He says, well, what those options were if you hit 550 plate appearances, then a $35 million option kicks in. And then if you hit 550 plate appearances again, a $35 million option kicks in. So therefore, hey, look, it could have been $320 million. So basically the proposition that was put in front of Manny Machado was, do I want to gamble that I'll be basically perfectly healthy when I'm 34 and 35 years old
right.
to make an extra $20 million, but take $50 million less as a guarantee, or just take my $300 million and not worry about if I pull a hamstring when I'm 34 years old.
The $50 million difference was important to him, and it was important to Reinsdorf apparently not to budge off of his $300 million commitment. He wasn't willing to budge. Guys, I've seen, you know, sports executives, broadcast executives, there are some things to which guys just can't get their head around. And this apparently is Reinsdorf's. For years, it was not signing pitchers to long-term contracts. Now he is of the mindset, and I think this clearly comes from him. He's the one who has to sign off on it. I'm not guaranteeing $300 million for anybody, or at least not in this case. And because of that, they had to find some creative ways to keep the conversation rolling, and ultimately Machado takes the guarantee.
I just don't think now that we have that report from Bob Nightingale, I don't know how the Sox can make an argument that their offer was better. It wasn't. It had $50 million less than guaranteed.
What exact quote from Hahn today I wrote down, in some elements, he does qualify it.
Okay.
He says, in some elements, our offer was superior.
Okay, and on an average annual value basis, he's right. Because it'd be 31 and a quarter million per year instead of 30 million a year.
And if he reaches those at bats minimums, the offer is then superior. It exceeds the offer he's getting from San Diego.
Correct, but all those qualifiers.
I know, it's full of qualifiers.
Yeah, that's just not how.
You got to do this, 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 then you get your 320.
Right, but right now, today, Manny Machado has just signed the biggest baseball contract ever. Because Stanton, who signed the 13-year, $320 or $330 million deal, it was on a less than $30 million average annual value basis. Manny Machado, now it'll be topped by Bryce Harper maybe tomorrow, but for today, he just signed the highest average annual value contract in baseball history.
Yep.
And only the second contract that was over $300 million in guaranteed money, $300 or more. So that's why he did it. He won. And then today, to further complicate things, Kenny Williams spoke before Rick Hahn, and it felt like they were contradictory. We'll start with Kenny Williams.
Not at that. Listen, I'm not going to say whether they did or didn't, but you know, there was a rumor out there that there was a $300 million offer. I'm not sure how that came about, since the other offers were, you know, not in that range. But evidently, that's what it took, and San Diego stepped up to that level. That level wasn't feasible to us because we still have to project putting together a winning roster, a total winning roster, and keeping the young players that will ultimately earn into greater dollars themselves. So when you look at the big picture, without having to sacrifice some of them, you know, we could not go to that level.
So says we could not go to that level. Then Rick Hahn came in and was asked about the numbers that they were or were not willing to go to.
There's not a hard, firm number, limit, magic number. I'm of two minds here. I think we very Jerry Reinsdorf for where he was willing to step up to, both in terms of guaranteed dollars, his structure, upside. Should be commended for how aggressive he was in the end with us and allowing us the latitude to get to where we felt we put a very compelling deal together. Again, we're balancing a lot of interests in these things. Flexibility, control, guarantee, upside, number of factors that in the end, any single one of those may sway the player one way or another. But in terms of a magic cap of a number, that doesn't exist. There are certain things in a deal that aren't going to work for us for various reasons. We weren't able to get this deal done.
So he says there was no magic number.
No magic number.
That they couldn't hit. Tough day.
He didn't want to indict the boss. Kenny was a little bit more forthright, I thought.
I agree.
It sounds to me like there was a magic number that began with three.
Correct. And again, you're right. They made an offer that was huge. It's the biggest contract that's probably ever been offered in the history of Chicago sports. It It's a competitive offer.
Oh, it is. 250, it is. It absolutely is.
I'm just saying we don't know if the Cubs have ever made an offer that got denied somewhere. Because, I mean, it can only happen in baseball. It can't happen in basketball or football. So I assume that it's the biggest offer that's ever been made. But we don't know necessarily.
Well, they offer Hayward 220 and he took 184.
Yeah, right, exactly. I said, probably.
What? I mean, what possibly could it have been?
You're right.
Yeah.
I guess they wouldn't have been in on A-Rod or Stanton.
Yeah. Not to a 250 level.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, fine. So it's the biggest contract ever offered in the history of Chicago sports, and it didn't get it done. So you can't call them cheap.
No.
They just weren't willing to go the full length of the marathon. Well, they went 23 miles of the 26.
That comes with a caveat, though.
How so?
Well, just because if you're not, okay, yes, they make the offer that's the biggest in the history of this city, but it's also not, from what we know now, it's not near the offer that it actually took to get him. So it's kind of the, okay, they made that offer, but they probably kind of knew, no matter how disappointed they may seem today, like, you know that you're that much apart, assuming Machado's agent got in touch with them. Like, you know you're not landing him. You know that's not a real offer.
So you think the tears today are fake?
No, I don't think the tears are fake at all. Like, I think they thought they had a shot. I think that gap is so significant that I don't understand how you can think you had a shot. Like, I don't know.
They might have felt, I'm just saying what they might have, I don't know it to be true, but maybe they felt they had a guy who, looking at life through the eyes of a 25, 26-year-old guy, saying, okay, I'm indestructible, there's not a doubt in my mind when I reach that age, I'll go to the plate 550 times. All of 8 guys did last year, so why wouldn't I be among them and get him to bet on himself to make a little bit more? And maybe he rationalizes, and I'm saying this is what might be going on through there. Maybe he rationalizes saying, by worst case scenario, I still got $250 million with a chance to make $320.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Padres also have an opt-out after 5 years that if he crushes it for the next 5 years and the market's robust, he can opt out and get more on another contract. So, yeah, this is from our guy Scott in Davenport. Shep had him run. Yeah, exactly. 34 or 35-year-old baseball players with 550 plate appearances in recent years. So the numbers that Machado would need to hit to activate those incentives. Last year, 8 guys. Year before, 7. Year before, 7. Year before, 5. Year before, 9. The most number of 34 or 35-year-olds with 550 plate appearances going back to the year 2000 was 2002, when 15 guys did it. So it's exceptionally rare for a player of that age to get that many plate appearances. So that's a pretty lofty vesting option, if you will.
And it's declining. Like, it used to be a norm that double-digit guys were doing it from 2000 to 2010. You haven't had double-digit guys do that in those years since.
Right. It hasn't been double digits since 2010. That's right.
White Sox had to have known that.
And Manny Machado has to know that. His agent, Scott and Davenport, did the numbers in 2 seconds. They pull up the numbers and they say, okay, here's the vesting option. You're not likely to hit it. So it really is $250 million. Well, they didn't get the job done. Maybe it'll work out for them. But now I don't think they get Harper. I don't think they get Arenado. And you wonder.
Well, Arenado's next year. We'll see.
But there's all these reports that he might be signing an extension with Colorado early to stay there. And if I were him, I'd want to keep hitting in Coors Field, too.
Yeah, but the G-spot's pretty hitter-friendly.
It is. It's not the altitude of Colorado. Well, nowhere is.
Right. I get the same thing. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
He a big weed guy?
We just had a hitter choose a big pitcher.
Is Arenado a weed guy?
Yeah. I mean, that could be hometown discount in order to keep him around.
You know,
He got a quarter billion weeds legal everywhere.
Shep, you think like I do, and then every now and again, Parkin says, when have you ever had trouble anywhere getting weed? Yeah. You're right. If you're Nolan Arenado, I have a feeling you'll find weed if you want it, whether you're in debt.
Probably a safe bet.
Dover.
Yeah.
Come on. Weed's been legal basically for a long, long time.
You just couldn't get caught with it.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever. That No baseball free agent who's signing for $250 million is making his decision on the legalization of recreational pot. I'm fairly confident.
Unrelated to Manny Machado, have you noticed a few texters following up today on our celebration of Office Space released 20 years ago today? I guess IDOT is acknowledging the Office Space anniversary.
I saw the text.
Yeah. If you could not text and drive, that'd be great. Tribute to Lumberg. That's real cute. That's nice. But how about starting to scare the crap out of people with those billboards and putting them to better use by suggesting what the maximum penalty is for causing an accident if you're found guilty of texting and driving or using your mobile device? How about letting us know that?
Well, it's not that big of a fine. So I don't know that it would be that good of a deterrent.
If I don't know what the fine is, but if you cause an accident and you're proven to be
different.
On your phone,
that's different.
I would think vehicular manslaughter.
But if you get an
that's what people need to be scared with is that, not an Office Space joke. That'd be great. It's funny. Okay, we like Office Space, but come on, start throwing the hammer at these people.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. We go to the desert and get a report from our guy, Bruce Levine, who was there when Rick Hahn met the media today, coming up on The Score.
Who's your favorite rock star? You're Prince.
Morris. Bruce.
Prince.
Bruce.
Bruce Levine.
Bruce, I've known you for a number of years now. That is absolutely the slickest way you have ever had.
670 The Score's Baseball Insider.
Bruce, I would swim the Mississippi River for you.
Well, you don't have to go that far. Mark Twain said the same thing, you know, back when...
about you?
Yeah, when I first started covering baseball. Yeah.
Covering the Cubs and Sox for over 30 years.
Deep left field, it's got a chance! Cubs win!
Johan Moncada with another... triple.
Bruce Levine with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
The bottom of the hour on The Score, brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Don't miss Coach Collins and the Cats at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season for games against Minnesota and Ohio State. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com. He's in the desert. He was there when Rick Hahn was meeting the media. He is our guy. He is Bruce Levine. What's up, Bruce?
Gentlemen, White Sox fans, I'm sure, are disappointed at home. But nonetheless, I think the White Sox officials gave it their best shot. Wasn't good enough. If you wanted to give Manny a 11 or 12-year deal, maybe it was going to be good enough. But at the end of the day, he took the most money guaranteed up front, and that's the way it went.
The messages from Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn, while similar in many regards, did take a departure when it came to the bottom line, and that being a magic number where the White Sox were out. I walked away from today's news conferences feeling like Jerry Reinsdorf put a $300 million cap on it. I will not guarantee $300 million. Do you read it differently?
I just think that at the end of the day, the day that I look at is that Machado wanted to go to San Diego, and he wanted $300 million guaranteed. The White Sox were not offering $300 million guaranteed, and I'm in firm support of that. I don't look at this guy as a 10-year player. I don't look at anybody in baseball as a 10-year player. I think that you are dealing with two to three years, maybe four, of no production, and a guy that's just sitting around on one leg most of the time trying to earn that extra $30 million each year and dragging your franchise down. So from my perspective, I'm not a 10-year guy when it comes to contracts, and I think the numbers will bear me out.
Well, I think they will, Bruce, in most cases, but if you win a championship or two along the way, I mean, isn't that worth it if you win a title?
I don't know. I mean, like the Pujols deal certainly hasn't worked out. Miguel Cabrera helped them go to a couple of...
No, but they didn't win a title with the Angels for Pujols.
Right. Yeah, exactly. They didn't win. Right.
They spent a ton of money on John Lester and Jason Hayward, right. And that money will be if the production dips for Lester radically this year, you still got to say it was worthwhile to have him.
Oh, he's been outstanding. Now the Hayward thing, you know, they won in spite of that deal, right? I mean that deal hasn't helped them win. As a matter of fact, that deal this year, it impacted them on going after probably another free agent. If you listen to what Tom Ricketts said yesterday and talking about that you can't go out there every year and spend $200 million, that's the case for them. But I'm just saying that the 10-year deals, look, if you're interested in paying for six and you're going to win a championship or two, I think that was the old baseball adage of, okay, we'll do that. In the case of San Diego, I don't know what they're thinking other than the fact that they have the best minor league system in baseball. The White Sox have one of the best as well, and they've added an excellent player that should be good for them for a while. Just the idea of watching Miguel Cabrera try to run the bases and Albert Pujols earning their last 4 or 5 years of these contracts is kind of hard to digest.
Yeah, I agree that most 10-year contracts haven't worked, right? That's factual. But then you're just not going to be getting these players, right? You don't get Bryce Harper, you don't get Manny Machado, you don't get Nolan Arenado, you don't get Mike Trout when it comes up for him. Like, you're just saying the cream of the crop, the best players who hit free agency in their mid 20s, those guys we're not interested in them.
Well, there's not a lot of them that come around. This was a unique year, won't you say, guys? I mean, not too many come out at 26. So these were two unique individuals. Most of them are going to be like Arenado, somewhere 28 to 31 or 32. And that's a different animal altogether. So we know Harper's going to get his money, and it's going to be bigger than Machado's. And, you know, Rick Hahn, we're here at the general managers meetings. All the general managers and managers have media day here in Glendale today. And Rick Hahn just said 5 minutes ago, that money is going to be directed toward another free agent. That is going to be directed toward us continuing to try to build. It might not be this year, but it'll be in the next few years where that money is not going into the coffers and being saved. It's going to be directed toward helping us win and adding on. So I think they're very aware that they missed today. They feel like they've missed, but they feel that this money is not just going to be hidden, that if Arenado's out there next year, that could be the next guy that the Chicago White Sox attempt to get.
See, yeah, you're right, and I do think that they'll spend money going forward. I just think since it is rare that a 26-year-old top 15 position player becomes available, it's different than when Pujols signed his deal or when Miguel Cabrera signed his. Like, I just pulled up Albert Pujols' baseball reference page. When he was 35 years old, it was 4 years ago for the Angels, he hit 40 homers and drove in 95 runs and had, you know, the batting average was low, some of the splits were low, but he was still a run producer, and that's 35 years old. That's what Manny Machado will be at the end of this deal, 35. It's different when you're signing a 26-year-old than when you're signing a 30-year-old.
It is, but Dan, you're trying to project his health all the way through, and that is a remarkably hard thing to do, projecting a guy from 26 through 35. I'm not making any excuses for the White Sox swinging and missing on this. They feel bad about it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I don't have a big appetite for 10-year deals. I think it's you're asking for trouble in this age, you know, if indeed you think you're going to get. I mean, you still have 4 years left on Pujols, right? You still have 4 or 5 years left on Cabrera. You know, what is that going to look like, and what type of heavy collar is that on you and your franchise when these guys are still walking around unproductively and not doing anything but taking up space and economic value from your team.
Right, but Pujols signed that 10-year deal when he was 32.
Yeah, way late.
So yes.
I agree. I mean,
right.
Yeah, it's unique. Okay, 26. Hey, he got his $300 million. God love him. You know, he's going to a young team. He's going to be a good player, not a leader, just a very good player. If he plays third base, he'll be an all-star and a gold glover. And maybe if they get any pitching on that team at all, they'll start to win in the next couple of years. But, again, you know, I just think that the one player difference, you know, for $300 million, it's kind of rolling the dice. With as Mac pointed out, John Lester, that is the epitome of a great deal working out. He's going to give you the 5 or 6 years that you thought you'd want to get for $155 million. You signed Jason Hayward to an 8-year deal at age 26.
Mm-hmm.
And what have you gotten out of that?
Yeah,
not as much as you thought you were going to, but I think we're getting a little bit off point. I want to ask you a question about something Rick Hahn said today when he said, I'm not talking about any individual targets, but he did note that they aren't done and there are more conversations to be had this year. Bruce, is this team, as it's comprised today in Glendale, is this going to be their opening day team, or will there be more additions?
I think it appears to be the team that they're going to have. He wouldn't answer that question. You know, group of us were just there like 7 minutes ago, and he said, I'm not talking about any other free agents or trades other than we're going to continue to try to add. We're trying to try to win. I don't think it's Bryce Harper, okay? I don't think he's coming to the White Sox. You know, would you like Dallas Keuchel, or would you like Kimbrel? I mean, is there anyone else out there free agent-wise that you would like to see them add?
They're not ready for a guy like Keuchel yet. If they were closer to being a really good team, I would say go ahead and make the move. That's my feeling.
Kimbrel doesn't work either, right?
No, I don't think so.
So I mean, are there any other free agents that make sense? So in other words, they're probably done. They're probably going to continue to look for trades. And, you know, they have movable parts again in July if they're not winning and they're not contending. I don't know if anybody expects them to contend right now, because to try to figure out if their starting pitching is good enough to win 75 or 80 games is really hard to do right now. I mean, you don't really have anybody that's won. He had one 10-game winner on the team last year, and his ERA was 6. And he'd given up the most runs in the American League and the most walks. So it's hard to project how good that rotation is going to be. It's the one thing I really want to watch is, can those starting pitchers grow?
So who do you think's going to get Bryce Harper? And then I assume you won't like the deal, right? Because it's going to be 10 years, $300 million plus?
I didn't like the deal for the White Sox. I'm sure for someone else with out clauses, you know, and I don't think the White Sox were offering out clauses.
Wait,
without
really?
Clauses, I don't think so. I mean, I didn't see it was. Is it? Did you see out clauses in it? They're offered?
Well, no. I mean, I just kind of assumed. I mean, Bob Nightingale said that they were 8-250, and the vesting options were off of 550 plate appearances for $35 million apiece for you know 27 and 28. So he's 35 and 36.
I didn't
seasons.
See any 3 or 5 year outs. You know,
but the Padres gave him an out after 5.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. So I don't mind Harper going to a finished product and a big market where they can absorb that money. I mean, that's fine if they want to do that. I don't like it, but I mean, I understand it more than I would for a team like the White Sox right now.
Right, but if the White Sox didn't offer an out after 5 years, then they weren't even close, right? They weren't even
competitive. Yeah, I don't know. I can't tell you. I know the 5 year language on it at this point.
Okay.
I can't tell you if there's not. I'll try to get back to you on it, but I don't know that.
No, for sure. That's fine. It hasn't been reported, but I guess I kind of just assumed that these big contracts kind of all have opt outs now for the players.
Sure.
And if you're guaranteeing $50 million less than the Padres were willing to guarantee, and you're not giving an opt out, then you weren't close.
Well, supposedly there were built-in incentives that would take it up to way over $300 million.
Yeah, Nightingale
sure
reported
you
that
the
I 50.
Yeah, Nightingale reported that the incentives were two $35 million options that would vest if he had 550 plate appearances in the season before. So when he's 34, if he has 550 plate appearances, the option for next year kicks in at $35 million. And then when he's 35, if he gets 550 plate appearances, it kicks in. So the total value that Nightingale's reporting was $320 million. So only $20 million more than the Padres, but with $50 million less guaranteed. And now you're saying maybe no opt-outs. Like, that's not that close.
No, maybe not. But, you know, again, I'm not saying if I'm the Yankees or I'm the Dodgers that I wouldn't sign Bryce Harper. I think it's a different animal altogether. You know, they have a different, you know, they are 100 win teams. Those Dodgers have won 6 years in a row, twice going to the World Series and not winning. Maybe they have more of an appetite for that in their market. The Yankees, print money. Maybe they can do that with that short right field porch and a guy that's hit 44 home runs before
right.
in his career. So, you know, I think it's different. But for the White Sox, I mean, I would prefer maybe next year if they get Arenado, I think that might be the better player for him, even though he's older. I would, you know, if it's a shorter term deal and it's, you know, a high AAV, that might fit nicely into what the White Sox are doing in 2020.
Bruce, go have a big steak, all right? Glass of wine, relax.
We'll see you soon, Bruce.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing you.
Us too, yes. Thank you.
That is Bruce Levine.
Bruce!
In Arizona. Okay, well, now we have another question on if the White Sox were willing to offer an opt-out. I'll put in a thumb. I just assumed. Don't all these big contracts have opt-outs for players?
I did also. I thought the hang-up was years 9 and 10.
Yeah.
Not guaranteeing years 9 and 10.
Yeah. And the thing is, too, like, I get what Bruce is saying. 10-year contracts, historically, haven't worked out great. The whole reason why this free agent class was unique was because these guys are hitting free agency way earlier than
Correct.
The vast majority of guys.
Yeah.
So you're paying for the ages 26 through 35 seasons, right? Those are the ages that you'd be signing Manny Machado for if you gave him 10 years, as opposed to when you signed Albert Pujols for 10 years, you were paying for ages 33 through 42.
Mm-hmm.
It's very different. It's very different.
Anytime in any sport you sign an athlete to a long-term contract and it's guaranteed, you have to be willing to eat it on the back end if that player gets you close to winning a championship.
Yes,
the Hawks overpaid for Marian Hossa. Do they regret that? No, they don't, because they got three banners that hang in the United Center that he had a huge part of.
Correct. It's the price of poker.
Right.
I keep using the poker analogy. There are games where you have minimum buy-ins. If you want to sit at that table, you've got to hit the minimum.
You got to be willing to watch a guy poop his pants the last couple years of his career as gracefully as possible. You hide him, but if he helps you win World Series or Super Bowls or Stanley Cups, then he was worth every penny of it.
Yeah, you and I are in complete agreement on that one. Some fun birthdays today that strike both of our fancies. We'll get to coming up on The Score.
You saying?
I say he'll flip you.
He'll what?
Flip you. Flip you for real.
Yeah, I'm shaking. Come on.
Okay.
Answer my question.
Can you hit me in the back? Hello?
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. And to you.
The birthday boy, Benicio Del Toro, has done a lot of really cool things since he did The Usual Suspects in 1994/95, but to me, he always will be Fenster. A smart man. When it came to the job, he was right.
Is it Friday already?
Yeah.
I can't say Fenster's line that leads to that line.
No, yeah. You can ask me, though, in Arizona, if you like.
Okay, man. What a...
That like a lot be... of China to me.
That's a lot of China.
Like a lot of China.
It's like a lot of China.
Oh, he's a butcher. He's just, what did you say? Who stole a truck? I love that.
He's the best.
The scene in the lineup, probably the most famous scene in Usual Suspects. Bryan Singer, who directed The Usual Suspects at the age of 24, hated that scene. I think I may have mentioned this to you once before. He was mad at those guys because they couldn't keep a straight face when they were filming the lineup scene. They just couldn't stop laughing. And Bryan Singer felt they wasted half of a day trying to get a take from that scene. The producers convinced him it humanizes the guys. It's also probably the funniest section of them. It might be the only funny section of the movie other than trying to wear your Fenster decoder ring and determine what he said.
Yeah, the whole, if you count the lineup scene as just an extension of when they're in the holding cell, the holding cell scene's funny too. When they're getting to know each other, mm-hmm. and who's the gimp,
you
is it Friday already?
Wife.
Yeah, exactly. So like that whole 10-minute scene is fantastic. Where do you go for your second favorite Benicio Del Toro? Because I go Sicario.
Yeah, I saw that once, and I liked it, but I never was compelled to go a second round.
I was surprised they made a sequel. The sequel wasn't as good, but also entertaining. I really enjoyed the first one.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've seen, I think more people are, you know, fond of Traffic, but I'm not going with the flow on it. I loved Benicio del Toro, even though it wasn't one of his more dynamic roles. In the movie Swimming with Sharks, he plays an assistant to film producer, film big shot, Buddy Ackerman, played by Kevin Spacey. And I continue to watch Kevin Spacey movies and just try to ignore it. I do with most things. And I couldn't help but think about that when we had Hub in here earlier talking, thinking aloud about, you know, what to do with his season ticket investment. Do you want to support an organization that has this sort of thing hanging over their heads right now?
And he admitted that he likely still will.
Yes, I'm fortunate to be able to draw the line. I do not look to my forms of entertainment, be they sports, movies, or music, for them to provide me with some sort of moral compass. If I did need that, I wouldn't go to any ball games. I wouldn't listen to any music. I wouldn't watch movies because they're all made by people. People have flaws. So I tend to overlook it. I still watch Kevin Spacey movies.
Yeah, separating art from artists can be tough for some people. I think in the situation with R. Kelly right now, what makes it particularly egregious to me, or that to me, that should be the easiest one to, like, his art is about, seemingly and often, the horrible things that he did and does to underage women.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, that is the part where it's like, how can you really listen to that song where now you know it's not some sort of fantastical fake thing? It's actually real.
Right.
So that one, to me, is pretty obvious and a pretty easy line to draw. But I understand what you're saying.
If the art they produce promotes something that you find morally bankrupt, then don't consume it. And now I would say this. If a company feels so strongly about a particular issue that they throw out an incentive to those who share their feelings, that's when I'll bail.
Well, so that's your line.
That's my line. Sure, a fast food restaurant that 6 years ago thought, "Hey, this gay marriage bill is starting to gain some steam here. Let's make a stand and offer a free sandwich to those buy one get one free if you oppose gay marriage." I was appalled by that. I don't know if I ever went in one of those stores before that. I certainly have made it a point to avoid it since.
Yeah, and see, I still eat the spicy chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A, and I think that that's abhorrent, but for whatever, that wasn't the line that it crossed for me, even though
that'll do it.
It was terrible. Perfect way. Nice timing. Also, can we give a shout out to my guy, Jeff Daniels, today?
Oh, hell yeah, we can.
On his birthday.
Be right out.
I hope you're not using the toilet. It's broken.
Huh?
The toilet doesn't flush.
I was just shaving.
Harry.
Maybe the most juvenile scene in movie history and one of my all-time favorite movies. And talk about range.
I mean, God.
He can be Harry Dunn in Dumb and Dumber, and then he can be
Flap from Terms of Endearment.
Or he can run Teddy, who's the director of NASA in The Martian. Or he can handle Aaron Sorkin dialogue. He did a play with Aaron Sorkin. He did The Newsroom with Aaron Sorkin. He did, the Steve Jobs movie with Aaron Sorkin. Like, the guy is a tremendously talented actor.
I'm glad you brought up The Martian. I had it in my notes because I thought he was terrific. He displayed stress within a leader of a very important, very, very well. I thought he was terrific in that also.
Yeah, and actually, the news came out yesterday. Olivia Munn said that they are in discussions to bring back The Newsroom, which was an Aaron Sorkin drama on HBO that only went 2.5 seasons. And it got crushed at the time by critics. It was very Sorkin-esque, all the cliches of Sorkin. I loved that show because it was about the idealism of journalism and the power of it. And so, and Sorkin always said, he's like, I never quite figured out how to do the show, but if I got another crack at it, I think I could do it better. So I'm hoping they bring back that show. I'd love to see it get another run. If Jeff Daniels is willing to reprise the role of Will McAvoy.
Hope so. Like his work. Thanks to our guest today, Danny Plesac from MLB Network, and the fiery Chuck Garfine from NBC Sports Chicago. Hub Arkush, part of the mix, too. We'll do True Detective tomorrow.
I will be watching tonight. Bruce Levine as well.
Oh, yes, Bruce.
From the desert. For Nick Shepkowski and Chris Tannehill, fantastic work as always. He's Dan McNeil. I'm Danny Parkins. Bears All Access is coming up next. We are McNeil and Parkins. This is The Score.
Everybody got lucky today. You don't have to pay for this performance. Thank you. You're welcome very much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.